You are listening to the Shadow Network with KP Reddy,
your gateway to innovation in architecture, engineering, construction, and real estate, with a sprinkle of startups that are making a difference in between. Check us out on YouTube at Shadow Partners. Never miss a live stream, fireside chat, or talk that we got going on with the industry's most interesting innovators and leaders every single week. More importantly, check us out online at shadowpartners.co to learn how you can work with KP Reddy and join our community. All it takes is a few clicks for you to make a difference. Welcome to the future, and welcome to the Shadow Podcast with KP Reddy.
So scrolling through LinkedIn, and I came across this post where you typed words matter. So I thought I would I'd read part of this, or maybe I'll, it's not a long post, maybe I'll read the whole post and then we could unpack it. And if you're new to the podcast, this is what we do. If you're not following KP Reddy on LinkedIn, you should. His posts are thought-provoking, they're pot-stirring. If you're in the built environment, the world of the built environment, architecture, engineering, construction, real estate, you should follow KP. And this is your opportunity to find out what's going on in KP's brain as he's conjuring up some of these posts. So here he goes. Words matter. When I ask, how big is your company? Common answers are going for our Series A, or 500,000 in ARR, or 360 architects, 2,000 engineering professionals, 5 billion a year in construction, 1 billion in assets under management, 1.5 million square feet, or 1 billion in real estate transactions. Rarely do I hear 100 million per year of revenue with 40% gross margin and 10 million in EBITDA. The above are just examples. Ignore the numbers. And you go on to say the vocabulary that we use to describe our businesses, except for the last one, are all the indicators of what we think success looks like for our business. The last one is all that matters. So I hear examples like that all the time. And I'm guessing that anybody that's listening to this right now goes, yep, I've heard that, or yep, I've said that, you know, something along those lines. So as you were, you logged into LinkedIn, you're getting ready to post something, what inspired you to type this post that starts out words matter?
Well, so I think there's a couple of things. One, I'm not suggesting we walk around with t-shirts that show our financial information.
Yeah, our metrics, right? Yeah.
That's not the suggestion. The suggestion is that if you walk around and talk about how many employees you have as a definition, like a mathematical definition of your business, over time, that gets ensconced into the culture. And therefore, every decision you make becomes around hiring people. Because that is the status. Oh, we're about to hit 500 people. So someone's running out trying to hire someone to hit 500 people, right? It's not because that's what the business is. So it's this extrapolation of financial information where people are like, I'm not going to share my financial information, but I have to have a way of communicating it. But what I find interesting is engineering and architecture firms are a people business. Construction companies are a people business. Yet when you ask them, how much, how big are you? Mm-hmm. The design professionals will always say people, and the contractors will always say dollars in construction revenue. So you ask yourself, why? Right? Why do they do that? And I think it's because maybe the design professionals are very focused on how many people they have, because it's about timesheets. It's about converting and arbitraging what you pay people and what you charge them out with. That is the business model. So therefore, that's what you track. A contractor, you can do $1 billion in construction as a contractor with maybe 100 people. That doesn't tell me enough. Another firm might do 10 million with 100 people. You know, it's just, it's really hard to know. And they view that as the, when, you know, when people are high-fiving each other, they're high-fiving each other about that new project and how many hundreds of millions it added to their backlog. So I think those words drive over time what is important, what is success. And when you think about business transformation and how I want to think about transforming my business, if I get stuck in a rubric like number of people, you're going to have a hard time getting out of it. I see this other one in the real estate world, like billions of transactions, $1 billion in transactions. Well, what they don't tell you is they made 10 bucks a transaction.
Right.
It's like, great. I had someone pitch me the other day. Oh, we did a billion in transactions, KP. I'm like, then why are you raising money? Well, you know, we get a penny a transaction or something. It was like some absurd little amount. So that billion in transactions translated to $50,000 a year in revenue. That's like a big so what, right? But they love running around saying a billion in transactions. So it can be used, one, it can be an anchor to how you set your culture. It can also be a way to embellish your success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I always say it's kind of like, you know, going to the gym. I mean, I spend 3 hours a day in the gym every day. Well, you spend your time looking at the mirror and listening to the podcast and talking to people. You didn't actually work out, right? It's not the metric. No, trainer is gauging the success of their client by how much time they spend in the gym. And so I think there's just this idea of like, you build these ideas and these words, and then you propagate them over and over again. And that is what defines your culture, which is a huge, it's a massive boat anchor to innovation.
Yeah. Yeah. So play devil's advocate a little bit, maybe. You know, when you talk about architects and engineers, you're exactly right. That's how they talk about their size. Part of that, maybe, you know, the contractor says, well, you know, $10 billion in construction. You know, the architect doesn't think about it that way because they get a very, you know, much smaller percentage of the revenue of that than the contractor does. But when it comes down, you know, and this I think is a super danger zone, right? This is the way we've always done it, which, to your point, that hinders renovation or not renovation, innovation every day. When it comes down to the point you mentioned, culture, it's culture of the profession, right? This is the way we talk about an engineering firm. This is the way we talk about an architecture firm. It's 360 architects or it's 1,000 engineers. Do we have to turn around? Does the engineering firm have to turn around and buck that system, break that culture of the profession? Is that the point, or part of the point? The entire point?
Okay, so in a construct where I go give all these talks, right, and mm-hmm. people ask me about AI, and I'm like, yes, AI will transform the industry, and the first place they go to is, oh, you mean we're going to have less people?
Mm.
It doesn't go to, I mean, that's fantastic. We're going to be able to do even more intricate designs. We're going to be able to do a lot more differentiated projects. Maybe we only do museums and the museum business is slow, but AI will help us get the skill sets to move into sports arenas.
Mm.
Right? There's no thinking about this technology is going to allow us expand our business. The immediate thinking is, oh, how many jobs is this going to get rid of?
Yeah.
I don't know that contractors are thinking that. Contractors aren't saying, oh, AI is going to get rid of a bunch of our people. They're saying AI is going to help us do more work. It's going to help us attain more construction backlog. We'll be able to bid on more projects. And if you correlate those two, they're rooted back into how do you define a business? If an architecture firm defines themselves by how many people they have, AI as a disruptor means we're going to have less people. Whereas a contractor is not saying, oh, AI is going to have us do less business. Like, oh, we can do more. We can do twice the amount of work. It's the same people.
Yeah. It's driving a mindset.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. We see that a lot. And I've seen that in past lives consulting with firms like that. We can't compete for this project because we only have X number and, our competitors have twice that many or something like that. There's no thought about capability. There's no thought about creativity or anything. It's just the number, and it is driving that mindset.
Yeah. I think when I was younger, we had a software development firm, and I was like notorious for taking the wind out of my salespeople's sails. Because they'd come in, hey, we just sold this project, and let me tell you all about, like, they would tell me all about, like, how amazing the project was. I was like, how much? When do we get paid? And they would just be like, dude, like, I'm trying to tell you about, like, this amazing project I just won. I was like, how much? And when's the wire coming in?
Yeah.
And it was a cut, like, it's like, you don't even care. I'm like, oh, I care. But the first set of questions is more important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then, once you tell me that, I do want to hear about the project. I do want to hear about the project. My son's doing midterms right now. I don't ask him, like, how do you feel? Like, hey, how'd that go? You get a pass? Like, well, how'd it go? I don't say, like, hey, was it hard? How did you feel about it? Like, I'm not asking him those questions. So I think, unfortunately, like, I might now, if he's like, oh, dad, I think I got a D, I'm like, oh, well, that feels pretty terrible. But the facts that matter to me are much more binary in nature. But I do think how that drives, I think it really tells you a lot about how people think about what's important and what the incentives are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, you start the post with words matter. And I think that hits the nail on the head, right? That's driving the mindset. And, if someone doesn't agree that the 100 million a year of revenue, 40% gross margin, 10 million, if they don't agree that that's what matters, well, that's a different conversation. But the mindset that is set up by the words is driving you in a certain direction. And that's really why I appreciate this post. It creates your focus. And is that a focus that ultimately matters in the livelihood of your business, the success of your business? Well, that might be the conversation for another podcast, but this is a good one. If you don't follow KP, it's K.P.Ready, R-E-D-D-Y on LinkedIn. A lot of great posts, a lot of very insightful business technology innovation posts. They're going to make you think. And that's why KP and I come here to unpack KP, unpack the brain of KP, and figure out what it is that's inspiring the posts that he's making. And so this one, as it starts out, as I said, it starts out, words matter. When I ask how big is your company, some of the common answers are, you should check it out. Thanks for listening to us, KP. Thanks for unpacking this for us. And we'll be back for another Unpacking KP next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Shadow Network. Looking to get involved? Well, then check us out on our website, shadowpartners.co, and learn how you can work with KP and join our community as soon as today. All it takes is a few clicks. Did you enjoy the episode? Leave us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice, or share it with your friends, share it with your coworkers, share it with your neighbor's dog. It doesn't matter. Spread the word. Until next time.